Gracious God, we thank you for today. We give you glory and honor for another opportunity we have, Lord, to look into the Word, particularly a book called Daniel. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we bless you, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the grace of your Word and for the added grace that we have access to your Word in these last days, when you have prophetically told us that there will be a scarcity of hearing the word. We thank you, Lord, that you have not allowed this to be our portion. And we're just praying that, Lord, you will indeed minister to us as we come together and as we study your word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that we won't just read these things for head knowledge, not just to have the understanding in the head, but we're praying that you give us the grace, Lord, that we'll see how the word applies to us and what we need to do, Heavenly Father, in order to live in the light of your holy word, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do thank you, we bless you, and we glorify thy name for all that you do for us. In Jesus' righteous name, we pray. Amen. So yes, we thank God for today. We're looking at the book of Daniel. And I would like to start by reading the book of Daniel chapter 2. Like I did see at the beginning, what we'll do today is to look at subject matters from chapters 1 to 6. And then next week, we'll look at the subject matters from chapters 7 to 12. Let me give you the background of the book of Daniel. Most of you know about the book of Daniel. But Daniel was written, obviously, by a prophet whose name is Daniel. Now, this is a wonderful thing. Daniel has a beautiful combination. Daniel was a prophet, but he was equally a civil servant. He was someone who was working in the palace, working as a government officer, which gives us hope for those who are working, or for people who wonder, does it mean that only pastors who are full-time or ministers who are forsaking everything, are they the ones that God will use spectacularly? Are they the only ones that God is going to give a great ministry to, or give the privilege of, you know, having an awesome work for the Lord? And the answer is no. Daniel was a civil servant. He was someone who worked for many kings in the palace. And yet, he was a prophet. And God gave him some of the most outstanding prophecies in the Bible. When we look at the second half of Daniel next week, one of the prophecies that tells us exactly about God's plan for Israel, God's plan for the world, God's plan for the termination of sin, final termination of sin, God's plan for the everlasting kingdom of Jesus Christ, you find that in that latter part we're going to be looking at tomorrow. It's a prophecy that speaks on every key area that God has for his people. Let me quickly jump the gun. I don't like normally saying jump the gun because it gives it, you know, an impression, you know, when you say gun. But however, let me just quickly do something here, which I believe would be a blessing. Here we go again. The pastor is going to start reading out some things that he never planned for. And you have to bear with me. I have to go as the Lord leads. And I'm sure you all do understand now. Many of you have been with us for quite some time. Now, this the prophecy in chapter 9 of Daniel is called the 70 weeks. And the background of this prophecy, we're going to go back to our original subject for today, is that God Almighty allowed and I use the word allowed. He allowed Israel to be taken captivity. Israel's captivity was not a mistake. Israel's captivity wasn't providence. Israel's captivity wasn't because the enemy had an upper hand. Israel's captivity was planned, was designed, and was predicted by God. This is so important, especially in the present day and the present times and with the present issues that we have. It's so important as believers. I was meditating on this and I was thinking about this before we started the session today. You see, once we take out from the equation that God is the ruler of all things and God is sovereign over all events, we would probably make a mistake of looking for the answer where there isn't any answer. The children of Israel, just at the time of Daniel, had gone into iniquity. They had gone into unrighteousness. They had forsaken the way of the Lord, the law of the Lord. They had forsaken the commandments of the Lord. Hear me out, brethren. This is so important. If we don't understand God's dealings with Israel, we will not understand the gospel. We will not understand what relationship with the holy God means. The God of Israel brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with signs, with miracles, with wonders. God used the nation of Israel to showcase to the heathens and to the Gentiles who he is. He used the platform of the nation of Israel for the heathen people to know who the true God is. He used the signs, the miracles, the deliverances or deliverances of Israel to let the people know all around that there's no other God like the nation of Israel. So God's bringing Israel into a relationship with him was for a specific reason. And God, as we can tell in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 2, as you hear the testimony of Rahab, the heathen nations knew that there's no other God like the God of Israel. And that was the purpose for why God called Israel out. So as he called them out of Egypt, he called them out with a mighty hand. Scripture says with an outstretched arm, signs, miracles, and wonders. But also he called them into a relationship. A relationship that is based on holiness. A relationship based on righteousness. And God told them, for as long as we are together, as long as we are walking in the precepts of the covenant, you are secured in this land. I will keep you. I will protect you. I will guide you. Not only that, these signs or these blessings will come upon you and overtake you as long as we maintain the covenant. Now, if you are a Gentile, as most of us are on this platform, if we don't understand that God calls us into a responsible relationship, go back and see God's dealings in the Bible with the nation of Israel. And you find out that each time they went into captivity, it's because they had negated the covenant that God had called them into. This tells us the character of God, that our God is a just God. He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. We cannot manipulate God with going to church. We cannot manipulate God. I hear some people say, oh, but she loves the Lord, but he loves the Lord, but he's in adultery, he's in fornication, he's in evil, but she loves the Lord. Let's stop that. We go back, let's use the lens of God's dealing with Israel to understand what relationship with God is. And as a result of their falling out in their walk with the Lord, According to the promise of God, God allowed the heathen nation, Sister Eugenie or Sister Sarah, whoever is taking the notes today, please, can you just put the word allowed there in capital letters? God allowed. Not because the enemy had power, not because the enemy had strength, not because the enemy had a strategy. God allowed. This is very important. He's a God that rules in the affairs of men. So he allowed the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, to take advantage and to plunder the land. Let me tell you something here. The Bible tells me and tells you that God exalts his word above his name. Are you getting me here? Because I don't want to just come and preach, you know, eschatology. We need to preach things that touches our lives and will be applicable. Not just the head knowledge. We take the head knowledge, but it's not applicable to our lives. We need to understand that God is a just and a fair God. And God here shows us through his dealing with Israel, if you remain holy, you remain righteous, you remain godly, if you keep to the covenant, if you keep to what I've said, if you hold on to the word, if you don't deny the precepts, the ordinances that I've called you in, because I've called you into a holy relationship, I've called you into a holy, holy covenant, as you remain faithful to that holy covenant, I'm with you. The protection, the favor, the mercy, the power, the authority, no nation will come near you. No nation will be able to stand before you. The Amalekites, you have victory over them. Philistines, you have victory over them. The Egyptians, you have victory over them. And all the other people, the Moabites and the Havites and the Jebusites, no matter, even when there's a confederacy against you, Israel, you will be protected. The God that watcheth Israel does not sleep, does not slumber. The psalmist tells me that the name, that the God of Jacob, the name of the God of Jacob will defend thee. The Bible tells me as the mountains surround Jerusalem, God is around his people. The Bible tells me very clearly that the God that watcheth over Israel does not sleep, does not slumber. These were privileged promises that God gave to the children of Israel. But he told them also, I am just, I'm fair. If you begin to do the things that all the other nations were doing when I spilled them out of the land, then that favor, that mercy, that privilege at the moment of your turning away from me will not be there. So as believers, let's get this very straight, because God doesn't change. We cannot take the grace of God for granted. We cannot see that we're people of God, we're children of God, and we are wallowing and swimming and, you know, drinking in sin and iniquity and say, well, actually, but I've made a confession. It is deception once again. And we can see how God did. So God told them, now listen to me, the temple was the highest price visible for people to see that the God of Israel was with God. God said, I will meet you in the temple. Initially, it was in the tabernacle. But then they built the temple. I will meet you in the temple. This is where people will know that the presence of God is. This is where the people will know that there's a God in heaven that does not relate with or relate to any other nation, but relates to the children of Israel, and he descends in their midst. In fact, in the camp, we're told in the wilderness, he will come as a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud during the day. So God said, this temple, my name will be there. Solomon dedicated the temple. He said, my presence will be there. My name will be there. When you pray, I will answer. This will be the place. People from the north, south, east, west, people from all other nations, all the other heathen nations will know that if you want to know where God is, go to the house of God, the temple of God in Israel. It was a symbol. It was a symbol for the children of Israel. It was a symbol of God's presence for the children of Israel. It was also a symbol of God's favor to the children of Israel for all the other nations to see. So, when God now allowed, I give that word again, allowed the temple to be destroyed, He was actually saying something. I've given you all these privileges, but on the basis of holiness, we maintain this relationship. Unfortunately, just like every other human being, not just Israelites, like every other tribe, every other country, every other person, people who are descendants from Adam, unfortunately, they didn't keep to what the word of the Lord said. And God had prophesied already earlier, before now, that if they don't, that you will take them out of the land. And unfortunately, that is exactly what happened. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 24. I'll come back to Daniel that I want to read. 2 Kings chapter 24. Can somebody just write on, or this will really help you. Can somebody put on the chat? I want more than one person because I want it to resonate. Can you just put there that God does not spring surprises? He doesn't. Yeah, God doesn't spring up surprises with his people. He doesn't. In 2 Kings chapter 24, let me read this out. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of Chaldeans, bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites. Can I hold on? Did you get something? Did you get something? Anybody get something? Did you get something? Go back to verse 2. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. The Babylonians didn't just become strong overnight, and then they had a strategy and they could win. God, once you take God out of the equation, you will not be able to have the right interpretation of events, even right now. Don't take God out of the equation. Don't look at things from a political aspect. Don't look at things from a nationalistic aspect. Don't look at things just from the aspect of the enemy. Look at it from the Bible. The Bible tells me here, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. That's why it's important that we pray properly. We pray with wisdom. We pray according to the word of the Lord. It says, and the Lord sent against him bands of Chaldeans and bands of the Syrians and bands of the Moabites and bands of the children of Ammon. These were the people that could not win the battle in the days of Jehoshaphat. We are told they gathered together like the sand at the sea. I'm telling you, there's no army that can beat Israel. There's no artillery. There's no bomb. There's no weapon. There's no cannon that can defeat Israel. There's no cancer. There's no gathering that can defeat Israel. Unless God allows it. If you take God out of the equation, we will not understand. Because when he came against the children of Israel in the days of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat won the battle without even, shooting a spear. The Bible tells us by the time he got to the battlefield, come on church, has your God changed? Has the God of Israel changed? Has the God of Abraham changed? Has the God of Isaac changed? Has the God of Jacob changed? Has the God of Joseph changed? Has the God of Moses changed? Has the God of Jehoshaphat changed? Has the God of Elijah changed? Has the God of Hezekiah changed? Hezekiah didn't even shoot anything. 185,000, one angel was enough. When you take God out of the equation, then we don't understand what's going on. When you put God in the equation, and then you understand the program of God, and what God has prophesied, God does not spring surprises. This is the beautiful thing about our Father. He tells you ahead of time. He doesn't spring surprises. Adam, Eve, if you take from this tree, this will happen. If you don't, everything remains for you. He doesn't spring surprises. And he told them already. But the Bible now tells us there is the Lord. That's why in the days of Jeremiah, God was telling them, you just submit. Submit to Babylon. Don't fight. Don't rebel. Because This is of God because of what you have done. So it says here, and the Lord sent against him bands of Chaldees and bands of Syrians and bands of the Moabites and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to do what? To destroy it. Then he says, according to the word of the Lord. God, not that God was being wicked here to his people, and hallelujah. Can somebody just say amen to what I'm going to say? God hasn't finished his program with Israel. God has a program for Israel, a program that the enemy cannot stop, cannot fail, a program that will make God remain God, a program that will show that God Almighty, as he has promised, will never allow the nation of Israel to cease as a nation. Hallelujah. He has put it in the covenant, and it will come to pass. However, before that time, there will be the time of chastisement. There will be the time of what the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 6, the time of Jacob's trouble. It's all in the Bible. If we are Bible students and not BBC students, if we are Bible students and we're not social media students, if we're Bible students and we're not Sky News students, Jeremiah chapter 30:30. If we're Bible students and we're not Sky News students, then we will know exactly how to address these things and how to address our prayers. Thank you. It says here, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants, the prophets. Did he say that? Yes, he did. Let me just quickly read chapter 20, verse 17. Thank you, Lord. I read from verse 16. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Oh, my Lord, thank you. My brother, my sister, let me tell you something. If you hold this word, it doesn't matter whether the sky is falling. It doesn't matter whether the mountains are splitting and moving and disintegrating. It doesn't matter whether the sun doesn't come out, or the moon doesn't come out, or the stars are falling. If you hold on to this word, the Bible tells me, not one jot, not one tittle. My brother, my sister, this is where your peace comes from. Peace like a river. Peace that the world cannot understand. If we just take our eyes away from all the commotions and the distractions of the devil, as we were told on Sunday, he has the three things he works with. He works with deception. He works with distraction. He works with delusion. But if you take that all aside and you put on the cap of discernment and you look at the word of God and you are at peace with the word of God and the word of God is your pillow, you sleep at night, you work during the day, no matter what's going on, no matter what you hear, and you're just holding on to the word of God, there will be peace because the word of God will come to pass no matter what, it will come to pass. So it says here, God now told Hezekiah, he foretold this. He said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 16, reading from. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Isn't it wonderful that we have a God who is not like the devil? The devil will show us the front door, will not show us the back door. The front door will have roses. The front door will have beautiful things. The front door will look very nice. But the back door, snakes and dragons and demons and evil things. But God is not like that. He will show you the truth. He will show us. And he told Hezekiah here, something is going to happen, and this thing shall be carried to Babylon. He says, nothing shall be left. Said the sons, said the Lord. Now, verse 18 is where the link to Daniel is. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. May God give us grace. Somebody will say amen today. That will not waste our precious time on social media. Is fake news. Television, fake news. Shorts, fake news. TikTok, fake news. Instagram, fake news. Don't feed yourself with junk. The word of God is the true word that will stand. And we see here, he tells Hezekiah that apart from Israel being taken to Babylon and the precious things being taken to Babylon, he talks about the sons, the descendants, and of thy sons, of the children of Israel, that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Once again, because God allowed it. And amongst those people that were to work in the palace was a person called Daniel. Hallelujah. Do you see the connection? Do you see how we get to this place? But I have good news for you. It doesn't matter where a child of God is. Nationalistically, they might have backslidden. But individualistically, if somebody holds on to the Lord and holds on to the covenant, thank God our calling is not a nationalistic calling. It's an individual calling. And even though they took Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and took them to a foreign land where there was evil, iniquity, unrighteousness, all kinds of gods, lewdness, debauchery, and whatever, all those things were there. But because these people as individuals, they held on to the covenant of the God of Israel. Oh, hallelujah. And the God of Israel is a covenant-keeping God. Anybody saying amen? I said the God of Israel is a covenant-keeping God. And because these people in a foreign land, foreign language, foreign gods, foreign culture, foreign tradition, they were in a foreign place, foreign government, but because they kept to the covenant of the God of Israel, God exalted them. He's not a respecter of persons. And therefore gave Daniel not just the privileges, but also gave him the ministry of the prophetic. So that's when you now come back to Daniel. I read from chapter 1. We'll go back to the chapter I wanted to read initially, which is chapter number 9. But down in chapter 1, it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Oh, look at verse 2. You get something in verse 2? I'm sure you must get it now if you're really following. You get something in verse 2? Something in verse 2? Anybody? What stands out there? Come on, let's dish this food together. What stands out in verse 2? It tells me, and the Lord gave. The Lord gave. Not because Babylon had power. The Lord, if you take out God from the equation, you will never understand what's going on. It says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Hallelujah. We have a God that ruleth in the affairs of men. He determines. He decides. He has authority. He is the king of kings. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, as it was prophesied, because God's word will come to pass, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Can you just put this one in your pocket? Do you know that this Babylon, as we understand, is the present day, is a country right now. You see, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the king of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, God's word is so true, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. We're told, verse 6, now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So you can see God's word coming to pass. Right. We have to go through that length so we can connect everything together. Now, Daniel is in the palace and God has been giving him revelations, has been giving him the prophetic. Daniel knew that God is a covenant keeping God. Hallelujah. And he knew that God said through the mouth of Jeremiah and other prophets that, more particularly Jeremiah, that this captivity, it will be for only 70 years. Hallelujah. This chastisement is for a purpose, is for a reason, and will be for only 70 years. And Daniel knew that the word of God will come to pass. He knew that God was in the equation. So he didn't begin to pray foolish prayer after 2 years. Oh Lord, do something, do a deliverance, do it. No, no, no. He didn't do that. He was a person of the word. He knew that God was in the equation. So you have to look at what is God saying, what's the timeline of God. And when Daniel knew that the 70 years was the time God had given and that was about to come to pass, he began to pray and seek the Lord. Quickly look at Daniel chapter number 10. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. We'll go back to 9. I read verse number 1. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persian, I think it's chapter 9 actually, Anid. Let's go back to chapter 9. Chapter 9 verse 1. Be with me. Chapter 9 verse 1. It says, in the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books, by the Bible, by the word of God. If you're a person of the book, you'll be strong. You'll be powerful. You have strength in the inner man. If you're a person of the book, by the grace of God, no deception will take over your life. It's or your ministry as a minister or as a pastor. If you're watching right now, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood, not by the social media or TikTok, not by BBC or Sky News or Al Jazeera. I understood by the books. Anybody here that wants to be someone that understands by the books? I understand by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I understood by the books because I know God is in the equation and the answer is from God and God has a timetable, has a timeline, has a program. I understood by the numbers of the years of the book, the time of this captivity. It says, and of the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years, not more, in the desolations of Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem, by the grace of God, cannot be wiped off. And if whatever they're going through is just a moment, temporarily, it's just a moment, and God is in the equation. It's not something that happened that God took God unawares. Mm-mm. The God of Israel does not sleep, does not slumber. It's for a reason. God allows it for a reason, and he will fulfill his promise. Thank you for the amens there. But we as believers, we need to understand, as Daniel understood, by the books, the program of God, and that God is in the equation. So then he began to pray. Oh, hallelujah. Now you need to get, this is a bit of a metaphor. It's kind of figurative that you need to understand this one. 70 years, he began to pray that, Lord, time is coming now. Oh, hallelujah. And I can just tell Daniel. Daniel said, I witnessed the captivity. I witnessed the destruction. I witnessed the plundering of Israel and the plundering of the temple. But thank God I spared my life. I'm still alive. I'm going to witness the people returning to the promised land. And he began to pray when he knew that the 70 years was coming, because he knew that God was in the equation. And he prayed. And God now gave him a surprise prophecy. As he was praying, his prayer would be, Lord, restore Israel, restore the glory, restore the kingdom, restore the power. I know by the books that there's a dynasty, that through the loins of David, there's going to be an everlasting kingdom. And obviously, Daniel was expectant. He was looking forward to it. There was that expectancy. Hallelujah. 70 years up, chastisement coming to an end, and the glory of God for Israel is going to be fulfilled. And yes and no. Yes, the 70 years come to pass, and you know very well that the king, Cyrus, sent the children of Israel back just at the 70 years. That's the yes. But the no is that God had another 70 in mind. And the first 70, the literal 70, you go back to your land, fine. You'll be a people again, fine. There'll be restoration again, fine. The temple will be rebuilt, fine. They will lay the foundation again, fine. We will be gathered from where we've been scattered, fine. The literal 70, yes, Daniel, because my word will always remain true, it will come to pass. However, Daniel, there's something you didn't know that I'm going to open your eyes to now. There is another 70 called the 70 weeks. It is in within those weeks and that program, that other 70, that prophetic 70, that you're going to see the end of iniquity, that you're going to see the glory, the true glory of Israel when the king sits on the throne, and you're going to see the complete termination of sin and iniquity. Thank you for the hallelujah. This would have, you know, shocked Daniel. While he was praying for the literal 70, he didn't know that there was another 70. And it's in this book that God reveals to us this wonderful prophecy. I'm going to pick out a few things. Do you know what has happened, brethren? I've gone completely to a subject that wasn't in my notes. And that's the Lord. That is only God. Hallelujah. Listen to this. The God of Israel is on our side. The God of Israel is happy with our study. The God of Israel is pleased that we are doing exactly what he expects us to do. The God of Israel is happy with us. When we want to know his plan, we want to know what the timeline is. We want to know how God is in the equation and in all things. And he's so pleased, he's taking us the way he wants to take us. Hallelujah. Right, so let me read verses 23, and from there we see how far we can go. We're reading about the Hebrew God anyway. Daniel chapter 9, verse 23 now. At the beginning of thy supplications, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll tell you why. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, the Bible tells me very clearly, if you look at this chapter, as Daniel was praying and seeking the Lord, I read from verse 20, 9:20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people in Israel, that is good prayer. That is good prayer, because he knew exactly why they went to the captivity. I'm presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God, for the holy mountain of my God. This man is a man that knew the program of God. The holy mountain, where the Lord is in Jerusalem. The holy mountain, the symbol of God, is in Jerusalem. The holy mountain, the symbol of the only true God, is in Jerusalem. And he was praying for all those things. And whilst I was speaking, he says, I'm praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Can I just say something? I've said something before. I've said this before. I want to say it again as the Lord lays on my heart. Why do you think this wonderful man called Daniel, when he knew that the edict had been signed, you know, the law, the decree had been signed to throw people into the lion's den if anyone prays and supplicates to any other person but the king? Why do you think that Daniel opened his window to Jerusalem? He opened his window to Jerusalem because he said, look, Lord, I may be a captive in this place, but this isn't the end. Israel may be scattered right now. This isn't the end. Israel may be oppressed right now. This isn't the end. Yes, they'll be going through a hard time right now, but this is not the end. Jerusalem, there's still a plan for God to rule and reign forever from Jerusalem. So, let's continue. I know time is going. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, the Bible says in verse 21, even the man Gabriel, the angel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and informed me, and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Remember where we're coming from? He was praying for the 70 years now that was coming to an end, the physical, literal 70 years. He was praying for them to go back to the land. But he didn't know that God still had another 70 in mind. So it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. So he's saying there's another 70. Now the 70 weeks here, it means 70 times 70, times 7 rather, 70 times 7. So he's talking about a timeline that was beyond the literal 70 years. And what is 70 times 7? Anybody? You like mathematics? Praise the Lord. Okay. So he was saying that within the timeline of 490 years, who said 240? I'll send you back to school. Praise the Lord. Okay. Within the timeline of those years, God will accomplish the following, not just returning literally to Jerusalem now, or Israel. 70 years are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. That means the finality of my program for Israel wouldn't end with just the 70 years going back to Jerusalem or Israel after the raid of the Babylonian king. He said there's something more. It goes beyond that. God is saying here. So it says to finish the transgression. By the end of 490 years timeline, transgression would eventually come to an end. All over. That's number one. 490 years, transgression will come to an end. It says, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Within that 490 years, reconciliation will be done for iniquity. Talking about the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to bring in everlasting righteousness. That's the kingdom of the Lord. And to seal up the vision and prophecy, listen to this, and to anoint the Most High, the plan of the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. So God is saying here, Daniel, the literal 70 years is not bringing the end to God's program for Israel. Don't think immediately the kingdom will be set up. No, the timeline is 490 years, 69 weeks. Out of the 70, we're told that during that time, the children of Israel would have rebuilt the temple. They would have gone back from their captivity. Within that 69 weeks, we're told that Jesus Christ would have come and he would have made reconciliation for iniquity. That is the 69 out of the 70 weeks that the Lord was talking to Daniel about. And remember that when you say 69, you're timesing it by 70. When you say 70 weeks, you're timesing it by 7. So 70 weeks times 7 comes the entirety of God's program. Out of those 70 weeks, 69 weeks, something will happen within the 69 weeks. He was telling Daniel, giving him the prophecy, within those 69 weeks, which is 69 times 7, this will happen. Israel will go back to their land. Israel will rebuild. Israel will come back as a nation. Within the 69 weeks, the Savior would have come and would have made reconciliation for iniquity. So, brethren, listen to this now. 69 out of 70 weeks means that there's 1 week left. Are we together? There's 1 week left. And if you look at the period, it says once again in verse number, I'm looking for the verse where it says, verse number 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince, shall be 7 weeks. That is one. That's 7 weeks. And 62 weeks, the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. So if you look at the 7 weeks plus 62 weeks, gives you altogether 69 weeks altogether. And saying within the 69 weeks, the children of Israel, they will receive a commandment to go back and build Jerusalem again. Hallelujah. History repeats itself. And within also that time, the Messiah would have come and made reconciliation for sin. Now, if you look at the number of weeks there, you begin to ask yourself a question. Obviously, the 70 times 7, which is 490 years, ought to have come to pass right now. Because 69 out of those 70 weeks have already come to pass. Remember, going back to build Jerusalem, that has happened. Reconciliation for iniquity, Christ has done that. So why hasn't this, the final 70th week, why hasn't it come to pass yet? The reason why is because in between the 69 and the 70th week, there is the church age. Now you need to get this. Remember that Daniel wasn't praying for church. He was praying for the program of Israel. Daniel didn't know anything about church. He didn't know anything about the Gentiles. He didn't know anything about the Gentiles coming into the kingdom of God. Daniel was focused on Israel. He was focused on Israel's coming back. He was focused on Israel and Jerusalem. He was focused on the promise God gave David. He was focused on the kingdom. That's why the word kingdom is used most in Daniel than in any other book in the Bible. We'll come back to that next week because it's about kingdoms. And on Daniel's mind, it was that the kingdom, the Davidic kingdom, the kingdom of the Messiah, he was looking forward to the kingdom. He didn't know anything about the church. So the 70 weeks specifically has to do with the nation of Israel, divided again into three. I want to make it very plain so that you all understand this. You have the first sevens, which is the first seven of the 70 weeks, is when the commandment will be made for them to go and build Jerusalem. The next 62 weeks will be from that time to the time Messiah comes and he makes reconciliation for sin. Out of you add 7 plus 62, it gives you 69. But in between, we have the church age, which Luke calls the time of the Gentiles, the time of grace, the time of universality of God's program. When the church is raptured, the 70th and the final week will begin. Are we together? The 70th and the final week. Remember, each week of the 70s is 7. So the last final week of the 70 weeks is 7 years. As the church is raptured, program for Israel starts again. And then the Antichrist will come. And then the first part of the 7 years, 3.5 years, he's going to be, an orator, someone who deceives the children of Israel. They think they're in a covenant. They think everything is good. That's what the Bible says. When they say peace and safety, there'll be sudden destruction. And everyone thinks, oh yes, this great man, this great global leader has been able to bring the peace that could never be, you know, how can we have peace when there's no Prince of Peace in it? Come on, church. How can we have peace? People say, let's pray for peace. How can there be peace when there's no Prince of Peace? We need to understand what we pray for. Yes, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but we pray for the peace of Jerusalem in accordance with the program of God. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem in accordance with the word of God, because there cannot be peace until the Prince of Peace is involved in the peace. He's the one that gives peace. But this is the point. The 70th year, the final year, we are told that there will be a man, a global leader, who will deceive the people. The first 3.5 years, there will be peace. People will think everything is okay. And then in the middle of the covenant, he will show his true color. He will come against the children of Israel. He will, Bible says that the kind of oppression and suffering and persecution that they've never seen before. And that's the kind of thing that gets me, you know, a bit scared. Because I think if I see what Israel has gone through already, when I look at the Holocaust, when I look at what the Germany did and Hitler did and 6 million Jews and how they slaughtered the people of God for nothing. And God says that what the Antichrist is going to do, nothing will be compared with what he is going to do. I say, God Almighty, does it mean that this is going to be something that is even worse that we've experienced thus far? And God says yes. But it's in the midst of that that the children of Israel will now say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The Messiah we rejected actually is the Savior. He's the only one that can save us. UN cannot do it. America cannot do it. UK cannot do it. We thought, we never knew. And Zechariah says that they will mourn for the one that they had crucified. Now they will realize. At the time they say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, then the Lord will come. Then the Bible tells me in the book of Revelation chapter 19, he will come with the saints that have been raptured by the grace of, and he would come and thunder upon the people and destroy them. And then the 70th week of this vision will come to pass. Guess what's going to happen? Transgression has come to an end. That would have been fulfilled. Jerusalem going back to build themselves as a nation. That would have been fulfilled. The Lord God Almighty coming to establish his kingdom and reign forever and ever. That would be fulfilled. And the end of redemptive history will come to an end. And then this vision will have come to pass. Amazing. Amazing. What a revelation that God gave unto Daniel. We'll look at the rest next week by God's grace. See, I don't know whether you can see. Yeah, here we go. Those are my notes. I didn't use my notes. Praise the Lord. Because God wants to minister to us. What we learn from here, my brother, my sister, I've been saying this, I've been having it now like a broken record. I'm going to continue doing it. If you love your spiritual life, if you love yourself, you need to switch off all this news. I'm not saying we shouldn't be well informed, we should be informed. But when it comes to the program of God, don't let that inform you. God has given us what we need. It's all in the word of God. I summarize what I've said earlier. I know it's a bit difficult for some of you to take it in, but the 70 weeks that God revealed to Daniel represents 70 times 7. So those 70 weeks, each week is 7 years. That gives you the 490. And then that 70 weeks, each time I say 70 weeks, just times it by 7, is split into 3. Number one will be, there will be a commandment to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. That will be one part. When eventually, if you remember, even though Cyrus said they should go back and rebuild, but they had to fight. Sometimes they were stopped. They couldn't do everything completely. They couldn't continue at some point. But however, the first, we're told here, 7 of those weeks, 7 times 7, that gives you 49. Or out of the 490 weeks, from the time the commandment was made to the time that they built Jerusalem is the first 7 out of the 70 weeks. The next 62 will be from the time Jerusalem is built to the time that the Messiah makes reconciliation for iniquity. 62 plus 7 will give you 69. That means everything that needs to be done now has been done up to the 69th week. That's why Christ's coming is imminent. All that is left now. The reason why the 70th week hasn't started is because the church, this is the time of grace, opportunity for you and I to come in, that we can be commonwealth of the people of Israel. We were not with them before. We were not partakers with them before. But God is giving you and I opportunity, giving us to have a relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the only true God. When the Lord says time up, rapture will take place for those who are ready. May you be ready. And then once rapture has taken place, the 70th week begins when we have the Antichrist for literal 7 years.